السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أستاذ.
ورحمة الله وبركاته.
نعم سوري
الحمد no
أقول
problem. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Amma Bad, firstly, we apologize for the late commencement of the meeting. We're about 20 minutes into the time. And inshallah, we'll still try to be conscious of the time. In continuation of our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, upon the chapter Man da'a li sahibihi an akthir malahu wa waladahu. Man da'a li sahibihi an akthir malahu wa waladahu. The one who will pray, supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his companion an akthir malahu wa waladahu, that his companion should have much wealth and much children. Is it lawful for an individual, and what examples do we have from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam that the individual should supplicate to Allah regarding his friend, regarding his companion, regarding his brother, regarding his sister, regarding his friend, and so on, that Allah should increase the wealth and the children of his friend. And that is coming after the chapter about al-waladu qurratul ayn, that the children are a means of comfort for the eyes. That hadith, the hadith of Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, was our last hadith in the last class. And in that class, the companion, radiallahu anhu, Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, Abu al-Aswad, he made us understand that what it means to be Qurratul Ayn, what it means for a child to be a comfort of the eyes, is that that child is Muti'ullah, is that that child is a person that obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What it means for a person's mother to be Qurratul Ayn, because from that hadith we would understand that a mother can be Qurratul Ayn to the son. The son can be Qurratul Ayn to the mother. The brother can be Qurratul Ayn to the sister. The sister can be Qurratul Ayn for his brother or for her brother. Two sisters could be Qurratul Ayn, one of them for the other. As we can read in the asul of that hadith of Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. Because Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiallahu anhu made us understand that when the companions radiallahu anhu were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they felt so sad when they realized that when their mothers who were non-Muslims, or their brothers, or their sisters, or their fathers, or even their children, if they pass away upon other than Islam, they were so sure that they will get into Jahannam. This was a means of sadness for them. Yes, this is a mother. Yes, this is a father. Yes, this is a brother. Yes, if that person passed away because the person does not have iman, because the person does not believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, companions were certain that those persons will get into Jahannam. So they felt a sense of pity. There are a lot of verses in the Quran regarding this matter. Allah told us in Al-Mujadila, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبِنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان. Those that Allah has written iman in their hearts, you will not find them loving their fathers, loving their brothers, loving their sisters when they were on kufr. So this was a major thing of worry for the companions, radiyallahu anhum, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our sons. If they died upon other than Islam, that was not going to be a good thing for them, because they knew what it means to be from the people of Jahannam. May Allah protect each and every one of us. That led them to begin to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make good efforts. We remember the efforts of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu upon his mother and the rest of the companions. And then they would beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنِ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا O Allah, grant us, bestow upon us the gift of wives, the gift of children, who will be قُرَّةُ أَعْيُنِنَا, who will be the comfort of our eyes. Grant them to us. Why? Because we recognize the evil in that a person should die upon other than Islam. For us, the lesson in that is that if we have parents, if we have brothers who are not upon Islam, if we have children who are not upon Islam, we should not be satisfied. We should not be comfortable about that at all. We should also increase in supplications as the companions used to supplicate that Allah should make their children and their wives people who fear him. And that's the reason why parents must make good efforts to be sure that their children are able to be stable upon the religion. It is unfortunate that some of the parents, the day their child grows in his or her religion, they begin to harass the child when they should be glad. We spend a lot of money, we spend a lot of efforts to guarantee this worldly life, comfort and pleasure for our children. But we pay very, very little attention to how our children will be from the people of religion, from the people of Islam. I'm not talking about making these children to be people who are just supplicating, begging Allah, Rabbana, Rabbana, no. They should be children who know Tawheed, who know how to declare the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live upon it. Children who know the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and live upon it. Children who know the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live upon it. It is not just about wearing clothes, going to a place and making supplications and praying. This is not what we are talking about. We are talking about being a Muslim upon sound conviction and good character. This was what Qurratul Ayn meant. And these were the kind of children that the early Muslims were praying for. These were the kind of children the early Muslims were praying for. So if we come back in this chapter to say that a companion would be begging Allah for his brother to have a lot of children, then we know the kind of children that it is talking about. If we say we are on a chapter on man da'a li sahibihi an akthir ma lahu wa waladahu, the one who will beg Allah for his friend, the one who will beg Allah for his brother, an akthir ma lahu, that his wealth should be blessed and expanded, wa waladahu, and that he should have a lot of children. It means that we are begging Allah to have a lot of qurratul ayn from amongst our children. This is what it means. And that we should have children who will be comfort of our eyes, meaning we should have lots of things to see and be delighted and happy about regarding about a lot of our children. Because some of the Muslims who say, no, we should not have many children. One, two, three is enough. One, two, three, comfort of the eyes. One, two, three children who are servants of Allah. One, two, three children who are conscious about their deen and upon the sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, they are not up to 15, 20 children who are upon the same thing. Three children who are upon goodness are not like 15, 20 children who are upon goodness. We give an example of one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr had 40 sons, and all the sons of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, were great scholars of Islam. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he had 17 boys, and all the 17 of them were great scholars. And like that, he had 10 girls. The 10 girls, one of his daughters, the daughters of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, lived so long and became amongst the teachers of those who taught Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah. If I'm not forgetting, her name was Fatima bint Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. So these are children that are blessed. These are children that have all that it takes to guarantee this dunya and akhirah. These are the kind of children that we are talking about. So people begin to say, oh, Muslims want to have many children. We want to have many good children who will be comfort of our eyes. So when we say if someone is praying for his brother, we now know what he's praying for. In terms of wealth, we want blessed wealth. Wealth that will come from halal and that will be spent upon halal. We also want blessed children who will recognize the limits of Allah and maintain it, who will recognize the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and remain upon it. This is what we are talking about. This chapter is about man da'a li sahibihi and akthir ma lahu wa waladahu. The chapter regarding the one who will beg Allah for his brother. Oh Allah, increase the wealth of my brother. Oh Allah, give my brother a lot of children. This is what we are talking about today. From the aspects of the narrations regarding our children is that we should be desirous of having a lot of children who will be Quratul Ain to us. And Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has reported this hadith from his teacher Musa ibn Ismail. We can see that he's about the largest person so far that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has reported a hadith from in this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. Musa ibn Ismail At-Tabuzaki Abu Salama rahimahullah. He's the one from whom Al-Imam Al-Bukhari reported this hadith. He said, قَالَ حَدَّفَنَا سُلَيْمَانِ ibn الْمُغِيرَةِ عَنْ ثَابِتْ عَنْ عَنَسِ قَالَ دَخَلْتُ عَلَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمًا وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا أَنَا وَأُمِّي وَأُمُّ حَرَامٍ خَالَتِي إِذْ دَخَلَ عَلَيْنَا فَقَالَ لَنَا أَلَا أُصَلِّي بِكُمْ وَذَاكَ فِي غَيْرِ وَقْتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْقَوْمِ فَأَيْنَ جَعَلَ أَنَسًا مِّنْهُ فَقَالَ جَعَلَهُ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ ثُمَّ صَلَّى بِنَا ثم دعا لنا أهل البيت بكل خير من خير الدنيا والآخرة فقالت أمي يا رسول الله خويدمك أدع الله له فدعا لي بكل خير كان في فدعا لي بكل خير كان في آخر دعائه أن قال اللهم أكثر ماله وولده وبارك له. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا موسى بن إسماعيل قال حدثنا سليمان بن المغيرة عن ثابت عن أنس قال دخلت على النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوما وما هو إلا أنا وأمي وأم حرام خالتي إذ دخل علينا فقال لنا ألا أصلي بكم وذاك في غير وقت الصلاة فقال رجل من وذاك في غير وقت صلاة فقال رجل من القوم فأين جعل أنسا منه فقال جعله عن يمينه ثم صلى بنا ثم دعا لنا أهل البيت بكل خير من خير الدنيا والآخرة فقالت أمي يا رسول الله خويدمك أدع الله له فدعا لي بكل خير كان في آخر دعائه أن قال اللهم أكثر ماله وولده وبارك له. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his teacher Musa ibn Ismail, and he has reported from his teacher al-Imam Sulaiman ibn al-Mughira. He is from amongst the A'imma, rahimahumullah, and he has reported from the eminent student and companion of Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, had an eminent companion who was with him. He said, Sahibtu Anasan Arba'ina Sana. Thabit al-Bunani. Thabit al-Bunani, this reporter, Thabit, his name is Thabit al-Bunani. Thabit ibn Aslam al-Bunani, Abu Muhammad al-Basri. Thabit al-Bunani was a companion of Anas ibn Malik for 40 years. Sahibtu Anasan Arba'ina Sana. I was with Anas ibn Malik for 40 years, radiallahu anhu, wa rahimahullah. So that was why he was in his character in, and in all that has been reported regarding Thabit al-Bunani, they were the same thing that were reported regarding Anas ibn Malik. Thabit al-Bunani, rahimahullah, the tabi of this hadith, was mentioned to be someone who was very, very worshipful. He was full of worship. Kana min a'bad al-nas. In fact, one of his colleagues, his name was Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani. He says, Ma adrakna a'bada minhu. We did not meet anyone who was more worshipful than Thabit al-Bunani. Rahimahullah. Thabit al-Bunani was the companion of Anas ibn Malik for 40 years, serving him, learning from him, providing his needs, going the errands for him, and all of these. For 40 years, Thabit al-Bunani. And that's why the teacher, the scholars place Thabit al-Bunani from amongst those who are most established regarding their reports from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. If you go to Musnad Imam Ahmad, you see a lot of ahadith were reported from Anas ibn Malik by who? Thabit al-Bunani. Thabit al-Bunani min athbat al-nas fi Anas. It's from among the most reliable people when it comes to the reports from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. So Thabit al-Bunani is the one who has reported this hadith from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, khadimu rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the servant of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik was a little young boy at 10 when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, and his mother Umm Sulaym, there are a lot of issues regarding her real name. Some of the people say she was Rumaysah. Some of the people say she was Gumaysa. Some of the people say she was Mulaika, and so on and so forth. Some of the people say she was Sahla. There are a lot of reports. Ishtaharat bikunyatiha. She was from among those who became very popular with their kunya, so much that their real names became almost unknown. Radiallahu anha Ummu Sulaym. When the Prophet came alayhi salatu wasalam to Medina, Ummu Sulaym had had Anas ibn Malik from her fourth husband, Malik ibn Nadr. Malik ibn Nadr was invited to Islam, but he left. He left, he went to Sham and died in Sham. So Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha was looking for how to make Anas a pious servant of Allah. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into Medina, Umm Sulaym went to the Prophet with her son, Anas ibn Malik. Said, Ya Rasulallah, Messenger of Allah, Hada Unais, this is Unais, my son, Yahdumuka. He will serve you, he will provide your needs, he will run your errands. And she referred to her son as Labib, someone who is very, very intelligent, Katib, someone who is able to write. Anas ibn Malik, at 10, he was able to read and write. So his mother, radiallahu anha, Ummu Sulaym, was telling the Prophet the benefits in Anas. Anas is an intelligent boy and is someone who can read and write. Because this is a house of knowledge, revelation is descending. Anas could read and write, and then Anas was very, very, very intelligent. Even regarding his mother, Anas ibn Malik, when he began to live inside the household of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed that intelligence. Radiallahu anhu. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had sent Anas ibn Malik on an errand, and he was a private message between the Messenger and Anas. When Anas went to deliver the message, he met his mother on the way. Where are you going? I'm going to deliver the message of Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. What was the message? I am not going to tell you the private message of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So on the day the Messenger came to Medina, and Anas's mother was presenting Anas to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, she referred to Anas as what? Waladun Labib. this boy is an intelligent boy. And what we just mentioned of Anas radiallahu anhu was an indication of his intelligence. Even when he told the people regarding this incident between his mother, when the messenger sent him on an errand, the people were still asking him, what was that message? If I didn't say it then, is it now appropriate for me to say it today? That's the private message in the Prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam. So, kana waladan labiba. So, Anas ibn Malik was an intelligent boy, and the mother took Anas to the messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, so that he could serve the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a hadith from Anas ibn Malik collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, he said, وَكُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِ. And then my mother, because Anas ibn Malik also had a grandmother who was mentioned to be Mulaika. So the grandmother, he had aunts. He said, my mothers, that was what he meant. كُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِ. My mothers, يَحْسُسْنَنِي عَلَى خِدْمَتِهِ. They would all encourage me, try to serve the messenger well. Try to go well, behave well with the messages of the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he became so trustworthy inside the house of the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. He also ran the errands between the messenger and his wife inside the house of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas used to go inside the houses of the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, before the verses on hijab came down. The verses of hijab came down between the 6th and 7th year of hijrah. It means in the first 6 to 7 years of hijrah, Anas ibn Malik ran errands for the messenger and for every person inside the household of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, radiyallahu anhu, فَخَدَمْتُهُ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ. So I served the messenger, alayhi salatu wa sallam, for 10 years. وَتُوفِيَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, وَأَنَا إِبْنُ 20 سَنَةً. The messenger, alayhi salatu wa sallam, died and I was a boy of 20 years old. So he was a boy of 20 years old for an entire 10 years of Anas' life. Radiallahu anhu, he was in the servitude of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So he learned piety, he learned righteousness, he learned the Quran. He learned to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and discharge Allah's rights. He learns to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and fulfill, be upon the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. This is a model son. We are talking about sons, children now. A model son for all of us was Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And a model mother for our ummahat is Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. Look at what Umm Sulaym gave to the son. It was mentioned, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. It was mentioned regarding Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that one day he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَشْبَهَ بِصَلَاةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ إِبْنِ أُمِّ سُلَيْمٍ. مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَشْبَهَ بِصَلَاةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ إِبْنِ أُمِّ سُلَيْمٍ. I never saw anyone whose salah was as perfectly as that of the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, like the son of Umm Sulaym. Who was he referring to? Anas ibn Malik. How not and why not when this boy lives under the roof in which revelation descended for 10 years with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. He learned the lessons of life with the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. So he was full of worship. Anas ibn Malik was full of worship and his heart were full of love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day he said to his companions, ma min laylatin illa wa ana ara fiha habibi. Ma min laylatin, there was not any night, there is not any night illa, except that wa ana ara fiha habibi, except that I saw my beloved. Who was his beloved? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he slept, Anas dreamt about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That went to speak about how much love Anas had for the Prophet. The same thing with Abu Bakr and Siddiq and Omar. Anas was full of love for them. He named some of his children after them. He named one of his children after Abu Bakr and Siddiq. And he was full of love for the companions, for the elderly ones amongst the companions, radiallahu anhu. Yet he was still full of a lot of esteem for the messenger. You could imagine a man staying in another man's house, learning from him, a young boy, learning from the messenger, going about his errands. And yet he said, radiallahu anhu, sometimes if you tell me to describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I may not be able to describe him because I was not used to looking at him in the face because of a lot of esteem that Anas had for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We could go on telling us about Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu for the entire class today, but we should go on with this hadith. We'll read the hadith, explain the meaning, and then we'll start picking out the points of benefit one after the other, inshallah. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, دَخَلْتُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمًا. One day, I visited the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So he visited the messenger, he entered upon, he go, went into the apartment visiting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. دَخَلْتُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. One day I visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we go to other books of hadith, it appeared as if Anas visited the Prophet and then himself and Anas went to their home. Allahu a'lam. Or that after that visit to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day, then the Prophet came to their house. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Prophet came to their house, wa ma huwa illa ana wa ummi wa ummu haramin khalati. Ma huwa illa ana. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to their house, there was no one in the house illa ana, except me, Anas, wa ummi, and then my mother, Ummu Sulaym, wa ummu haram, khalati, and ummu haram, my khala, that is my maternal aunt. Ummu khala, ummu haram, khalatu, Anas ibn Malik was the wife of Ubadah ibn Samit. Radiallahu anhu. Ubadah ibn Samit, she was in the group of the first group of Muslims who went on a battle upon an ocean, upon a sea. Radiallahu anha, ummu haram. So she was the wife of Ubadah ibn Samit. Radiallahu anhum. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to that house when the sister of Ummu Sulaym was around and Anas ibn Malik was around. So the Prophet went there sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is dakhala alayna. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into our house. In other reports of the hadith, فَأَتَتْهُ بِتَمْرٍ وَسَمْنٍ. In other reports of the hadith, some dates, some dried dates were presented to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with some butter as food, as a gift from messenger, eat something in our house. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calmly rejected the food, لِأَنَّهُ كَانَ صَائِمًا. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day was upon a fast. So he gently, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rejected and did not partake in the meal. فَقَالَ لَنَا. After that, the messenger said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, أَلَا أُصَلِّي بِكُمْ. Should I not lead you in salah? Should I not lead you in salah? And Anas said, وَذَاكَ فِي غَيْرِ وَقْتِ صَلَاتٍ. And that happened at a time when it was not the time for any of the salawat al-khamsa. It was not the time of Fajr. It was not the time of Zuhur. It was not the time of Asr. It was not the time of Maghrib, nor was it the time of Salat al-Isha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked to lead them in salah in a part of the house. And that salah was going to be salatun that is a tatawu, a salah that is recommended, perhaps from salatul duha, as some of the scholars have mentioned. Others say no, it was just a salah that was observed after an ablution. And Allahu alam, any two units of prayer the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered to observe in their house. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْقَوْمِ. Someone from amongst the people who were hearing this report asked. Who did they ask? Was it Anas that they asked? Or they asked Thabit al-Bunani when Thabit al-Bunani was reporting the hadith? The second is what is correct. The report in Sahih Muslim said, فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْقَوْمِ فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ لِثَابِتٍ. a man said to Thabit, meaning that فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْقَوْمِ فَأَيْنَ جَعَلَ أَنَسًا مِّنْهُ. One of the people in the community asked, in the people who were listening to the report asked, where did the Prophet place Anas? So the question was not being asked Anas. It was not as if it was a direct question to Anas. Who was it amongst the companions of Anas ibn Malik who will call Anas ibn Malik by his name to his face asking him a question? They wouldn't do that. Even if they would do that, you hear them say that with a lot of respect. So it meant that this question was directed to Thabit. Thabit, where did the Prophet place Anas? And that's why in other reports of this hadith also from Thabit al-Bunani, Thabit reported directly that the Prophet ﷺ placed Anas in so-and-so part on his right side. Meaning that the question was directed to who? Thabit. So فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْقَوْمِ فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يَسْتَمِعُونَ إِلَى مَنْ إِلَى ثَابِتٍ الْبُنَانِ. Those who were listening to Thabit al-Bunani were the ones who asked Thabit that question when they heard this report from who? From Thabit al-Bunani. They asked فَأَيْنَ جَعَلَ أَنَسًا مِّنْهُ. So when it was the Prophet alone and Anas alone and then the two mothers, where was Anas placed? Was Anas placed behind the Prophet to observe the Salah? Or was Anas placed to the left of the Messenger to observe the Salah? Or Anas was placed to the right of the Messenger to observe the Salah? Where did they place Anas? Radiallahu anhu. Faqala. Who is this who said? Who is answering? Thabit al-Bunani. Faqala ja'alahu an yaminihi. Thabit al-Bunani said, rahimahullah, that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam placed Anas on his right side. What does this mean? We'll come back to that when we begin to mention the points of benefit in this hadith. Summa salla bina. Then the statement continued from the statement of who? Anas ibn Malik. Summa salla bina. Who is talking here now? Anas ibn Malik. So this statement from فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْقَوْمِ is like an اِعْتِرَاضِيَّة. It's like a statement in between a statement, and it was an interaction between Thabit al-Bunani and those who are listening to the report. ثُمَّ صَلَّى بِنَا. Then we return to the original narration from who? From Anas ibn Malik. Then the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam led us in salah. He led that salah when Anas was to his right side and the two women were lined up behind him. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ دَعَى لَنَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. After that salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam دَعَى لَنَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicated for us. He began to beg Allah for us. بِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started praying for us, asking Allah to provide us بِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ every good مِنْ خَيْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. From the things of good in this dunya and from the things of good in the akhirah. What does this mean? We'll come back to that when we begin to pick the points of benefit, inshallah, in this hadith. فَقَالَتْ أُمِّي. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying and praying and praying and praying for the household, radiallahu anhum, wa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, فَقَالَتْ أُمِّي أُمُّ سُلَيْمِ. The mother of Anas ibn Malik then said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah, Khuwaydimuka, your little servant, was mentioning Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik is Khadimu Rasulillah. But in this case, the mother made this kalima, Khuwaydim, your little young servant, by way of attracting compassion for him from the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, Messenger, it's like saying, how about this little young boy, Messenger of Allah? Pray for him too. So she said, Udu'ullah lahu. Pray for him too, O Messenger of Allah. Pray for Anas, your little young servant. Pray for him. So that attracted the Messenger's attention, alayhi salatu wasalam. Fada'a li bi kulli khairin. Fada'a li bi kulli khair. The Prophet prayed, begged Allah to grant me every goodness. Kana fi akhiri du'ai. Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, summarized the goodness. summarize the dua of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He begged Allah to give me everything good that you can imagine. So if you think, oh, Anas ibn Malik was knowledgeable, the Prophet had prayed for knowledge. He was healthy in his life, the Prophet had prayed for him. He was strong. There was an incident between Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi and Anas ibn Malik. It was reported that even at old age, Anas ibn Malik had the strength to be able to have private dealings with his wives. And people began to worry. He told them, the Prophet had prayed for me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik was so strong, was so energetic, was so knowledgeable, was so intelligent, was so devoted to servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of these dua from the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. And he said, kana fi akhiri du'a'ihi. In the last thing he said, akhiri du'a'ihi, at the end of his supplication for me, and qala, was that he said, Allahumma aksir ma lahu. Allahumma aksir ma lahu. Oh Allah, make his wealth to be abundant. Oh Allah, grant Malik abundant wealth. And Malik was so abundantly wealthy. He would say, radiyallahu anhu, ma asbaha fil ansari rajulun aksaru minni mala. There was no one amongst the Ansar aksaru minni mala who had more wealth than I had. Anas became the richest from amongst the Ansar. Radiyallahu anhu. He was so rich. He had a huge farm that bore fruits. The fruit that other farms will bear in 1 year, the farm of Anas ibn Malik will bear the same fruits in 2 years, twice in that year. The fruits will be bought that they will get, that they will harvest in 1 year in Medina, in the farm of Anas ibn Malik. Those same fruits will come twice in that year. This is from the blessings of Allah upon Anas ibn Malik's wealth, radiallahu anhu. He was so wealthy. He was so wealthy, and he was from among those who, when they supplicated, Allah granted their supplications. It was mentioned that this huge farm of Anas ibn Malik one day in the desert became so dry and needing a lot of water. So the one who was in charge of the farm came to the city in Medina to tell Anas ibn Malik that the farm is dry. It now needs water. Anas ibn Malik went out, he supplicated, begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the clouds gathered and the rain started to fall. This thing happened at the time when it was not the season of the rains. The rains fell upon the farm of Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu. It fell on his farm, radiyallahu anhu. It fell on his farm and got the farm so wet. Anas sent one of his children, go and check the bounds, the limits of the water. It was said that the water only exceeded the limits of his farm only a little. Otherwise, the farm where was the area in which the water, the rains came and watered. Ulama al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, this is said, this is a strong karama from a scene of honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Anas ibn Malik. So the Prophet prayed for Anas. Allahumma akthir ma lahu. O Allah, make Anas ibn Malik's wealth to be profuse. Wa waladahu. O Allah, aksir waladahu. O Allah, give Anas ibn Malik a lot of children. The children and the grandchildren. The children and the grandchildren of Anas ibn Malik, they were more than 120. The children and the grandchildren of Anas ibn Malik, they were more than 120. We'd mentioned some of the companions who had a lot of children. One of them was Abu Bakr. He had 40 sons and he had many girls too. Radiallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He had 17 boys and 10 girls. Radiallahu anhu. But Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, despite all of these, he says, وَكَانَ أَكْثَرَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَلَدًا وَكَانَ أَكْثَرَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَلَدًا. That Anas ibn Malik was the most amongst the companions who had the most number of children. No one amongst the Ansar had as much children like Anas ibn Malik. There were people like Sa'd ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi who also had a lot of children. But all of these did not reach even a half of the children that Allah blessed Anas ibn Malik with. This is the point of reference in this hadith, that the individual can supplicate to Allah, oh Allah, increase the wealth of so and so. Oh Allah, grant him a lot of children. So it means it is lawful for us to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us lots of children. Many of us these days, I have answered a sister or two in situations who will be asking that their husband is compelling them to abort, or the husband is not happy that they became pregnant, or things like this. These are not from what the Muslim should do. The Muslim should be the one who hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begs Allah to have a lot of children. And these children, when he has them, he makes good efforts to be sure, as we had read in other passages before today, that these children are children who worship Allah, who serve Allah as is appropriate, and are friends of Allah. It's not all about comfort. The what comes in our mind when we talk about children is getting the children to the best of schools in Dubai, getting the children to best of schools in Lagos. I know, like I've always mentioned, a sister who was residing in Ianopaida in Lagos once, who got her child to a school in Lekki, and every day she had to go. And then this was a quarrel between herself and her husband, because the husband could not afford a school in Lekki. These kinds of attitude are not appropriate for us. And many of the people, because they want the children to go to schools of millions, they run away from having children. Unfortunately, the schools these children go are not about the things that will make these children become Qurratul Ayn. Because they are essentially things that will only, by Allah's will, if Allah wills, establish those children upon the matters of dunya. As for the issues of akhirah, وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ غَافِلُونَ, as regards the akhirah issues of the hereafter, they don't want to know anything about that. And this is poor about many of us. Many of us spend a lot of money, a lot of attention, a lot of money and a lot of good attention to be sure that in the matters of this dunya, our children do not come from behind. But when it comes to the matters of the deen, we handle it as we like. This is wrong, absolutely. And it's an approach to child upbringing that we must change. We must be sure, we must try to create good atmosphere for our children to learn Islam. And that atmosphere starts from how we have organized our home as men, and how the women have organized the home as mothers, because organizing the home is the duty of the man and then the woman. Organizing the home is the duty of the man and then the woman. Some of the scholars have brought a lot of points of benefit from this hadith of Anas ibn Malik. Psalm 17, our Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi in his Sharh al-Sahih Muslim mentioned about 17 points of benefit. Sheikh Hassan Hussein al-Awaisha in his Sharh, he brought about 9 points of benefit and others. But the major point of reference for us in this hadith today is the fact that we must be sure that we pay good attention to the deen of our children. And that when a brother prays for us that Allah should make us have a lot of money and a lot of children, we should know that this is from the blessings of our religion. There are many other points of benefits in this hadith. And I think I can see that the time is really, really far spent. I hope that perhaps we can start from there in our next class tomorrow. Start mentioning, inshallah, to mention some other points of benefit in this hadith of Anas ibn Malik. Before we read the next hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha regarding the mothers, and what we shall read in that hadith of Aisha is from amongst the points of benefit in this hadith of Anas that the scholars have mentioned. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was praying for the entire family, Umm Sulaim could have asked the Prophet, pray for me. Instead of asking the Prophet, pray for me, she gave the preference to her son. Pray for my son. This shows the kind of mercy and compassion that mothers have. If a prophet's goodness is coming, parents prefer to come to their children. So she gave preference to her son, Anas, over herself regarding this special request for dua. Regarding the special request for dua, Umm Sulaim gave the preference to who? To Anas, instead of herself or instead of her sister. Some of the people will give the preference to their brother or their sister. But Umm Sulaim gave the preference to her son. And that is the bulk of what we shall read in the next chapter, that Al-Walidat Rahimat. Al-Walidat Rahimat. Mothers are Rahimat. They are absolutely compassionate and merciful. But that are so compassionate and merciful. That is the next chapter we shall read from the hadith of Aisha, inshallah, tomorrow in our next class. But for today, inshallah, we'll stop here. We'll continue a brief discussion about the hadith of Anas ibn Malik in the next class, and we'll join it to the hadith of Aisha, inshallah, in the next class. I think we can stop here to ask a few questions around this hadith that we can ask about and try to provide answers, inshallah. Ameen wa antum fa jazakum Allah khair. Abu Yusuf.
Now, this one says, is it right to ask Allah to favor one the favor the particular Sahaba for the blessing of another person?
The question is not clear to me. Is it lawful to do what?
To ask Allah to favor one just like he favored a particular Sahaba.
Yes, you can ask Allah to favor you as he has favored so and so Sahaba. Abu Bakr had 40 sons and all his sons were scholars of Islam. You can beg Allah, you give Abu Bakr, give me too. That is from the lessons in Salatu ala Nabi, alayhi salatu wa salam. Naam. You remember in Salatu ala Nabi we mentioned as Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. Hello? Are you there, Abu Yusuf?
No.
The next question.
Now, this one says, Adhu Allahu lahu. Adhu Allahu lahu. Pray for him. Oh, you messenger. Can we do this from this hadith that we can request from someone, especially a righteous person, to pray for us?
Yes, we mentioned much of that in the next class, inshallah. We have not started mentioning the points of benefit in this hadith. We can do it, although we have not been doing it in our own times. If you find someone in whom you hope, bi-iznillah, that he has piety and righteousness, you can approach him, pray for me, and then he prays for you on the spot. This is from the lawful aspects of making tawassul. Pray for me. The next person prays for you. Like the mother Umm Sulaim of Anas asked the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, pray for Anas. It is from the points of benefit that the scholars have mentioned regarding the hadith. Pray for me, or pray for my son, or pray for my daughter, as the case may be. And then the person prays for the daughter. I know a mother that some of the people said a few things about her son, and she was telling those people that what you see in that boy, I spent years moving around looking for pious people. She said she was searching for pious people so that they could pray for that boy. And Allah made it happen when in her lifetime. So these things happen. You can look for someone who is pious, but the piety is determined by sticking to the Quran and the Sunnah. Sticking to the Quran and the Sunnah are the yardsticks to determine piety. It is not about one afat ubuna as we know in our community. It's about being upon the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger, because some of the people, when you go to them to seek these kinds of things, they lead the people to shirk. May Allah protect us. This is from the things that if we mention this kind of an issue, we have to mention because of the kind of community that we live in. So we must be sure to a good extent that bismillah, this person I'm looking at should be a pious servant of Allah. Unfortunately, we don't do that regarding ourselves, because what we have in our minds are aspersions. Shaitan has casted aspersions in the minds of all of us, and we hardly saw any of us to be better than us in terms of righteousness. And it is not possible that we are all righteous at the same time, that we all have the same level of righteousness. No. The mu'minun, al-mu'minuna fil imani yatafadalun. Like al-imam al-Muzani mentioned in his Sharh al-Sunnah. Wa bi salihi al-a'mali hum mutazayidun. Al-mu'minuna fil imani yatafadalun. The Muslims, in terms of the strength of their iman, yatafadalun. They are upon levels and categories. Wa bi salihi al-a'mali hum mutazayidun. And regarding pious deeds, whom mutazayidun, they have ziyadat. They had ziyadat upon one another. This one has more good deeds than this one. This one has more good deeds than this one. The one who has more good deeds than you, you can ask Allah to beg. You can ask him to beg Allah for you. But what we look for is that Muslim who does not have any shortcoming, and that kind of a human being does not exist. Naam. Aba Yusuf. Aba Yusuf. I think we can call it a day today, Ikhwa, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Aba Yusuf. Can we call it a day today?
No problem, sir.
Or you can ask, you have a question you want to ask about immediately?
I was reading it already.
Okay, I did not hear it. Bismillah.
Now, what can a sister do about her husband not wanting to have children anymore after two kids, but the sister wants more kids?
That idea is not an idea that is good. She can mention the matter to him in a gentle and nice manner. If the husband has a teacher that the husband respects, the wife can report the case to him so that he is encouraged to have children. We can see Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik had over 120 children. 120. Over that. Over 120 children and grandchildren. So it is from Sunnah to like to have good children. It is from the Sunnah to like to have good children. And to think that you will not have a good child is to think evil of Allah and not hope in His mercy to give you good children. Is to think evil of Allah and think evil of yourself. This is not appropriate at all. So be hopeful that when Allah, the two that you have had, who guarantees you that they will be Quratul Ayn for you? Perhaps the third and the fourth and the fifth will be the ones who will be Quratul Ayn. May Allah make all our children Quratul Ayn for us, each of our children Quratul Ayn for us. So don't restrict yourself regarding Allah's mercy. Child and children are from the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, Yahabu liman yasha'u inatha. Allah gives as a gift. So this gift of Allah is something you are now coming to say, no, you reject. Allah is giving you a gift and you say you reject. So if the husband has, bi'ithnillah, a person he respects in the religion, the woman may mention the matter to him, and then this person will appropriately guide the husband. If the matter is still beyond that, then the matters may be mentioned to our parents, maybe the parents of the girl, if they are from the people that the husband listens to and really, really respects, and that is how it should be, or the parents of the husband, or the parents of the woman, as the case may be. Look for people that your husband respects and who have a good understanding of the matter. Mention it to them, and then they can counsel him that the thoughts about having two children and not having any other amongst children is not a good one at all, and it is not from the thinking of a good Muslim. I hope that the answer is clear, inshallah. We come back to the rest of the issues, inshallah, tomorrow. Aba Yusuf. I think we can stop here today. Amin wa antum fayazakumullahu khairan. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته